Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the change of command at the Army Corps of Engineers and an MBA program specifically for veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tuesday, August 27th, is Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Every branch of service and nearly 60 organizations that support military families will be on display. I encourage you to come out early in the day. At 10 in the morning, a formation of Minnesota Vietnam veterans from all branches of service will parade through the fairgrounds and descend upon Carousel Park. It is way past time to reflect upon the valor of this generation that served with honor. But this commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War is finally a welcome home. In addition to the morning program, the day is filled with educational opportunities about the military. There will also be support organizations present to provide information and assistance for military veterans, service members, and families. Resource information will be available for military youth, for service members looking for employment, and for community members who want to get involved. The 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Band will take to the stage, as will country artist Rocky Lynn. Lynn will perform his Tribute to the Troops concert in the Carousel Park. All military and their families, as well as veterans and their spouses, will receive discounted admission at the gate when they present valid documentation of military service. We'll see you August 27th for Military Appreciation Day at the Great Minnesota Get-Together at the Minnesota State Fair.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is Colonel Michael Price. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Colonel, I can't believe we're coming down to the end of, is it three years that this assignment is command of the St. Paul District?
Yeah, we're closing in on 3 years and a couple months. So it's been a great long tour, and I've enjoyed almost every day of it.
Colonel, for our listeners that might not have caught us before, can you tell us a little bit about your military career?
Well, I've been in the Army going on 24 years. In May, I'll celebrate my 24th year in the active duty. Before that, I graduated from West Point in 1989 and then went right into it, spent some time in Germany during the fall of the wall. Did the Desert Storm as a lieutenant, came back to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, Air Assault Division there. I did lots of training down there. After that, I went to grad school, then went with the Corps of Engineers for a short 18-month tour, off to some more schooling, then the Fort Drum for 5 years where I went to Afghanistan a couple times, and then off to U.S. Northern Command in NORAD, North American Aerospace Defense Command, protecting our nation right after, following 9/11, and then off to school and then up to St. Paul District.
Colonel, you move so often, it sounds like you're living in a tent.
Well, I have lived in a tent, but I haven't made my family live in a tent, but we have moved 11 times, and they're pretty pro at it.
So you're pretty happy with your career so far, sir?
I've loved being in the Army. It's looking back in retrospect, I wouldn't choose any other career. Being part of this brotherhood and now sisterhood is just a great opportunity, and serving the public the way I have is I've loved all of it.
And Colonel, in your current position, which is coming to an end, and we'll talk in the second part of the show about where you're going next. That was a 3-year assignment and command of the St. Paul District, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. You've got lots of personnel and lots of responsibility in that position, don't you?
It's a great position I've had for 3 years. And as an Army officer coming to do this, is not very many Army officers get to do what I've done the last 3 years. And this has probably been the most rewarding position I've ever held in my Army career. Other than serving in combat and bringing everybody back, this is probably the next best thing I could have done, interacting with all levels of government, from the local communities, counties, townships, all the way up to the federal level, and talking with our state senators, state representatives, and solving our nation's problems as regards to infrastructure, flood risk management, those sorts of things. It's just been very, very rewarding.
Talking with Colonel Michael Price, commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, we've talked in the past that when we think about the Army Corps of Engineers, I've lived in Twin Cities my whole life, we think about dredging the river. It's about the only thing we hear about. But you've taught me over the last few years that you're one of the largest managers of some vacation properties. You help with snow and floods. You help with there's a myriad of things that the Corps does that people just don't listen to or hear about very often, isn't it?
That's very true, and we're quiet in how we execute our business, but we do six lines of operations from navigation, as you mentioned, because we live on the Mississippi River every day. But that's a big part of our mission, but we have much larger missions in solving some of our engineering problems for many communities in this part of the country, especially the Red River Basin, Souris River Basin, and along the Mississippi doing flood risk management. And you mentioned recreation. We have 41 rec sites throughout Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Contrary to popular belief, the Army Corps of Engineers has had more visitors to their parks than the National Park Service nationally. So, and we're part of that. And I'm very proud of our rec sites up in the headwaters of the state of Minnesota. If you haven't been to them, I urge all the listeners to go visit one of our rec sites up on the headwaters in the Minnesota.
Are those recreational sites going to be impacted by the sequestration, sir?
Well, sequestration is going to impact everything we do, but minimally. We're going to take a 5% cut across the board of all of our programs, but we're managing that very closely. There's also this discussion about furloughs and how that will impact our workforce. Fortunately for the Corps of Engineers, we're funded differently. We have kind of two ways we're getting funded. So not all of my people, but 95% of my workforce is funded by civil works appropriations, which are different than the DOD appropriation. So the Corps of Engineers asked for a waiver, an exception to the furlough, and indications are we're going to get approved. We haven't got official notification yet, but we have very good indication that all of my employees that work on civil works projects and programs will be exempted from a furlough. So that's great news. The rest of that 5% will be seen. We'll absorb it. Maybe doing less dredging this year. Less things being done at our parks. Permits may take a little longer, but generally we'll be able to absorb that 5% sequestration cut.
So you just have to break down the budget and figure out what you can afford within however much money you're allotted.
That's exactly right, and we're managing it nationally. So some of our projects may have higher priority across the nation than others, and so they may not be impacted. So our headquarters is still working through the big matrix of how we're going to absorb that 5% cut.
Colonel, I have to take a short break. When we come back, I would like to talk about your next assignment.
Sounds great.
We're speaking with Colonel Michael Price, the commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined today by Colonel Michael Price, commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers here in Minnesota. And Colonel, as we talked about in the last segment, this was a three-year assignment, and you were all over the world beforehand, and you're going to be moving on soon. But while you've been here, there's been one thing kind of in common, and that's springtime. Every spring, there's some problems in northern Minnesota or northwestern Minnesota, isn't there?
I don't understand it. It has to do something with the terrain up there, and I guess they don't call it the land of 10,000 lakes for a reason. So we've been actively planning for flooding again this year, and we've done that every year since I've been here. And it's probably happened decades before I was here as well. So,
well, it seems like I've lived here my whole life, and we hear about it every year. But I didn't know until I met you a couple of years ago that you and the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Homeland Security and I don't know who else, but the planning that goes on for the annual eventuality, it doesn't always flood. But the planning is extensive, isn't it?
It is quite extensive, and I'm very fortunate to have a great team that has done this in the past and has been able to build those relationships with all the agencies, both federal and state and local agencies, that all come together when there's an event. And we've been able to do that for several years, and we've been very successful at it, especially in the Red River Basin. It's just like clockwork, and I don't know of any other communities, Moorhead and Fargo, that are better prepared to respond to a flood event than those two. And it's just tremendous because they've been able to build these relationships and execute their mission.
Colonel, did it surprise you when you first got here that the extent to which all these government agencies and work together on these issues?
Well, that's one thing I've learned over the last 3 years is that importance of building relationships early and develop them and feeding them. And you can't get anything done in these days without working with somebody else. And that's been my philosophy for my whole career is leave your hand out there in the open, someone will grab it, and then you'll develop a partnership and you'll move forward.
If you start early, you can get the lines of communications open and you can find out who's the key contact in the other organizations. And so when something happens, there's emergency, you know who to call.
That's right. And you can't exchange business cards on the battlefield or on top of the levee. You got to do that way beforehand.
Colonel, it's been great having you on the show, but I understand you've got a change of command ceremony coming up on June 20th.
That's correct.
And there'll be a new commander for the St. Paul District, Colonel Daniel Kaprowski. And I understand you've talked to him a few times. And
yes, we've been corresponding, and I've met him a few times, and I'm already starting to feed him with information about the St. Paul District and the Corps of Engineers. He doesn't have any experience with the Corps of Engineers on this side. He's been a combat engineer his whole life. Did some teaching at some of the universities, taught at West Point, taught history. So this will be a new position for him, a new challenge, but I am sure that the St. Paul District staff will welcome him with open arms and guide him in the right direction.
So the consistency here is that most of your staff at the St. Paul District has been here for some time, and they'll be here, and there's just a new commander.
They can outlive the commander, and they all do. But I've got a tremendous staff, and I'm just sitting next to them, and I'm allowed to command. But they are true professionals, and I'm so fortunate to be with the team here in St. Paul. I've talked to other commanders, been to other places in the Corps, and I can't tell you how proud I am of our employees in the St. Paul District. Their professionalism and all about the work ethic and the culture is tremendous and sets the bar way high for any other district in the Corps of Engineers.
It's kind of ironic, I would think, sir, that if your staff, if the Corps of Engineers gets their job done well, we don't hear about them.
And that's good. We are quiet professionals, and that's the way we like to be.
The only time we hear about them is if there's an emergency, if there's something wrong. So
that's right.
No publicity is good publicity, I guess, for the Corps.
Right. That's exactly right.
Colonel, what's the next step in your career?
Well, after changing command, I'm going to pack the family up, move them back to the state of Michigan so my wife and children can be near grandparents, and I'm going to head overseas to take command of the Transatlantic Afghanistan District in Afghanistan.
Can you put that in English, sir? What does that mean? What kind of a mission is that? What kind of assignment is that going to be?
Well, the Corps has been involved in both building and rebuilding infrastructure in Iraq and Afghanistan since the beginning of the wars. We are still in Afghanistan, and there's currently two Corps of Engineer districts in Afghanistan. They're going to draw those down and create one out of them, and I'll take command of that one remaining district in Afghanistan.
So you'll actually be stationed in Afghanistan?
I will. I'll be stationed somewhere around in or about Kabul, responsible for all the projects that are open still and yet to be awarded and constructed in the country of Afghanistan for the next year.
Now, have you had an opportunity to visit ahead of time and learn anything about that assignment?
I have that scheduled for the couple weeks in May, so I'm going to get there and start learning the people and the lay of the ground. There are still over 400 projects that are open, anywhere from building transmission lines to repairing two dams, building facilities for the Afghan National Security Forces, and for building infrastructure for our coalition forces. Over 400 projects yet to be completed.
Now, I'm sure you've checked on this. Is this a relatively safe assignment, sir?
Well, being in the Army, it doesn't matter if it's safe or not. We'll go there and do the job that we've been asked to do, and it is pretty safe. This security is improving in the country of Afghanistan. The Afghan National Security Forces are taking over parts of the country, and the Corps has been very involved, and they're only going to build stuff where it's secure.
And I would think the Afghans would be very interested in having you complete those 400 projects.
Well, they will, and a lot of them are going to support their forces and their nation and their people, and that's what it's all about, is helping people.
We're speaking with Colonel Michael Price, the commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, coming back to the St. Paul District again, what do you think the greatest challenges faced by the Corps of St. Paul District while you were in command over the last 3 years? And you've had a lot of accomplishments.
Well, beyond all those accomplishments, the biggest challenge I think the Corps has had, not just St. Paul, is the ever-going saga of a lack of a federal budget and working on continuing resolutions. In the past, when they did a budget, we were very clear on what we could do in the long term. The last several years, we've been stymied on what we've been able to do, waiting for budgets to keep up. But we've been able to execute. The one thing that's never slowed us down or something we've always been able to do is do our emergency response and those sorts of things. But everything else has been slowed or delayed due to the lack of budgets. And that's, I think, been one of my biggest challenges because I came from a different part of the Army where we do. Now I have to wait and wait and do. So it's been a big challenge for me.
So it sounds like you've got a long to-do list, but you have to prioritize it based on the funds available and what's most important to get to accomplish?
That's part of it. And the other part is ever-changing policies at the national level and even outside of the Corps controls. We've been asked to do things that we're not funded to do. And that's a big challenge because we all want to do what we've been asked to do. We all want to build our nation's engineering projects and engineering solutions. Our national infrastructure has got a D minus. If you look at the civil engineering national grading system, we're a D minus infrastructure wise across the nation. And the Corps is a big part of that, especially our inland waterway transportation system. It's all aging and it's not getting budgeted properly, and the nation's got to figure out how they're going to do that.
So your biggest challenge was how to best use your resources on the most important issues, and some of the stuff just had to wait.
That's correct. And, you know, every community's got a voice. Some communities have a bigger voice, so they may get more funding. But it's our nation's got to set the priorities and fund those things accordingly.
Sir, what do you think the greatest challenges are going to be for the next commander?
Well, I think the biggest thing that's bubbled its head is that dreaded Asian carp. And that thing's not going to go away. It's only going to get more pervasive in Minnesota. Good news this last week with no EDNA detections since the last test. But I think it's going to be a big issue for the new commander to deal with.
Is there any answer to that?
I don't think there's an answer to many invasive species. They're going to come. It's just how we manage them and how we prevent damages due to them. There are things we can do. There are things the whole federal, state, and locals can do to help mitigate the impacts of the Asian carp.
Sir, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts about your 3 years as commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers?
Well, Tom, again, I've truly enjoyed every day I've been the commander of the St. Paul District, basically because of the people that have been around me. My staff is tremendous. I'll put them up against anybody. And it's people like you that talk about what the military does in our communities. And the state of Minnesota has got a great culture, great word ethic, and I've loved living here for the last 3 years.
Colonel, we've enjoyed having you on the show the last 2.5 years. You've enlightened us and taught us a lot about what the Corps of Engineers is doing that we never see, and appreciate your coming on the show, and I hope you have a great deployment in Afghanistan and finish up your career, hopefully with a star.
We can always hope. Again, thanks very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today, sir. This is Colonel Michael Price, commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll meet the new commander of the Army Corps of Engineers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
This week, families, friends, and communities will celebrate the independence of our country and the freedoms we enjoy as we celebrate the 4th of July. The signers of the Declaration of Independence did not take their signatures lightly. Here we are, hundreds of years later, with the same purpose and promise that guides our country. At your 4th of July celebrations, I encourage you to take a moment and look back on the courage and wisdom of our founding fathers and be renewed in our shared commitment to those core values that brought our nation to life back then and guide us now. Take a few minutes to remember what the 4th of July is about and to remind ourselves how fortunate we are to be Americans. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Colonel Dan Kaprowski, the incoming commander for the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Colonel Kaprowski, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about your career? It looks like you've had a good long career already and traveled quite a bit.
Sure, yeah. It's been 23 years now, so I've been at it for a little while. Well, let's see. I started at, I got commissioned through Army ROTC at Boston University, so I came in that way. And I started, you know, my career in the Corps of Engineers and in the Army at Fort Drum, New York. So way upstate where it's real cold, and I was in a combat engineer unit there. And, you know, we tend to move around quite a bit, so I did the usual lieutenant jobs, platoon leader, company XO. As part of that, part of my career, I deployed to Somalia in support of Operation Restore Hope. Let's see, from there, went off to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and was fortunate enough after that to go to Germany. Spent 3 years in Germany where I commanded a company. From there, moved on to, you know, to Bosnia. Spent a long time in Bosnia, predominantly doing mine clearance and some other route clearance kind of operations. And when we were done in Germany was a big time in my career and in my life. Both my kids were born over there. And when we got back, I went off to graduate school in preparation to teach at West Point. And that was one of the more interesting things I've done. We, you know, in the Army, you have ROTC officers and West Point officers, and this was an opportunity for an ROTC officer to kind of see how the other half is developed and raised in the Army. So that was an eye-opening experience and very rewarding. And I moved on from there to the 101st Airborne Division, where I was a Battalion S3 and a Battalion Executive Officer in Iraq. And you know that operation was everything, you know, that I think probably a lot of your listeners experienced. You know, I had many of the same experiences there. And from there, you know, while I was in Iraq, I was selected for both Lieutenant Colonel and Command. And then I was also selected to be the professor of military science at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. So I, you know, that was my second time getting an opportunity to develop young officers, and that's something I've discovered I really enjoy doing. And you know, that is one of those things that you kind of do it, and it pays dividends forever and ever because you stay in touch with those people, and you get to see young cadets become, you know, more seasoned officers and get to be good at their jobs, and that's very fulfilling. So I went to Georgetown, moved from Georgetown out to my battalion command. I commanded the 65th Engineer Battalion in Hawaii, which was great in a lot of ways. The quality of life in Hawaii is terrific. The unit was exciting and interesting and constantly on the move. And then while I was there, I found out about this job. So I moved from Hawaii back to Washington, D.C. for the National War College, and then As soon as I was done with the National War College, the next day I got on a plane and flew out here, and it has been fast and furious since I got here last Friday.
Colonel, that sounds like a storybook career, and you've gotten to travel all over the world.
It's been very exciting, and you know, I tell you, people spend their entire lives trying to find the right thing, and I tell everyone I found the right thing on my very first try, so I consider myself very fortunate.
We're speaking with Colonel Dan Kaprowski, who assumed command of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on June 19th, 2013. Colonel, it sounds as though you were fortunate to see that that Colonel Price was ready to move on and that this job was opening up.
Well, you know, the way it works is the command tour here, and really across the Corps of Engineers, that they tend to be 3-year command tours. So when it's when you're at the point of being selected for command, you have the opportunity to see what commands are coming available and put them in, you know, really it's a wish list. And then the Army decides based on skills and experiences and what's available and who's available when, kind of who gets which one. And so, you know, there were other options on the table, but really it was a decision made at the Department of the Army level, and I just lucked out.
Colonel, we've learned from Colonel Price over the last few years, most people in Minnesota think of the Army Corps of Engineers and they think about dredging the river. But this job is much more than that, isn't it?
My job certainly is. You know, dredging the river is a part of what we do. But, you know, like I said, I got here last Friday and they have been feeding me information by the ream. And so dredging's part of it, but the district is geographically huge, it's functionally huge and very complex, so there's an awful lot more to it than just the dredging.
So a lot of the main players are still in place, and I'm assuming that Colonel Price and his staff left you with some pretty good briefing papers about what's going on, what's coming up, and what's on your agenda.
Oh yeah, they sure did. You know, I've been getting, you know, briefings pretty much wall to wall for the last couple of 3 days. Colonel Price, you know, left me in really good shape. He set me up for success, and the staff is, for the most part, staying in place. And there are some great people here. So again, you know, I'm really very fortunate to have taken over this organization.
So, sir, what are your plans for the first few months in this new command? I'm sure you're going to be studying a lot and meeting a lot of people. But are there any urgent projects coming up?
Well, I'm still kind of wrapping my arms around what projects there are and what are coming up and what are, you know, coming to fruition and that sort of thing. So my plans over the, you know, the next 3 months or so, really to get out and see the entire district to the extent that I can. It, you know, geographically it stretches from North Dakota all the way to Wisconsin, and there are projects in all sorts of places. So I need to get out and take a look around, do an assessment of what's going on, where and when, and you know, what stage different projects are at. So, you know, in terms of priorities for projects upcoming, you know, you're going to have to ask me again, because at the moment I'm still sort of wrapping my arms around that problem.
Well, Colonel, welcome to Minnesota, and thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio today. And I hope we get a chance to talk to you 3, 4, or 5 months from now after you've settled in and we can see how the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District is doing.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. It was Colonel Dan Kaprowski, the new commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, we'll learn about an MBA program specifically for veterans. Please stay with us.
This is Major General Rick Nash, Minnesota's Adjutant General, encouraging you to hire today's veterans. Today's veterans have a track record of integrity and have triumphed over adversity. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Hiring a service member just makes sense. Veterans have the training, work ethic, and proven skills that will immediately add value to your business. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran. Visit PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is former U.S. Navy Commander Charles Altman and former United States Marine Corps Sergeant Michael Conroy, both from the Carlson School of Management, and we're going to talk about the Military Veteran Program. Commander, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you quickly tell me, you've got an MBA program for veterans over at Carlson. Where did it come from?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for letting us be on the show today, because it's important that we get this word out. It's really a veterans advocacy. It started about a 14-month ago time frame, and what we're trying to do is find a way to assist veterans getting back from, whether they're on active duty or not, into an MBA program if they so desire to take it. The resources that we have at the Carlson School are what is the mainstay of what we have. It's not just a mentorship sponsorship program. What we have is actual resources available to help veterans that are interested in pursuing the MBA. It's a wonderful program. It's advocacy for veterans, and it's an actual leg up rather than just words, and it's actual deeds. And it's helpful for those that are interested in the MBA program.
And Michael, you're enrolled in this MBA program. Did you finish the program now, or are you just finishing it up?
I just graduated about a month ago, yes.
Okay, and how long did the program take? And you were in the Marine Corps, enlisted, Marine, MBA. What did it do for you?
Well, it's done a lot. It was a transformational education. They gave me all the tools that I needed to go out and compete with other people and give me the hard skills of how to look at a balanced sheet or how to look at other things in the business world where I might have had other certain skills that are very desirable. I still needed those hard skills, and that's what it gave me.
So how did this program come to be? Were you and the commander both involved in it from the beginning?
No, I started school right before he was brought on staff, and myself and another student, Gene Levin, decided that there was a need there for a veteran student organization, and we actually started that first to unite the veterans across all programs at Carlson.
Sure. About 14 months ago, the dean asked me to come in and find a way to move ahead with this program. It was just a vision at the time, and to see if there was, in fact, a way we could support veterans in a military initiative that assisted veterans that were in desiring of coming back for an MBA.
The commander, the SLO program sounds great. What's the theory? If you've got a service member that just got out of the service and already has an undergraduate degree, mm-hmm. Why would they want to spend 2 years of their lives getting an MBA?
The MBA offers certain business aspects that are particularly important to the business community in the Twin Cities area and around the nation in general. But in specific, it's the language of business that we're able to provide for the individual as they come out of the service. A lot of service people struggle when they come out finding employment. It's difficult out there. I mean, everybody understands that there's been some issues with veterans' employment in this downsizing we're experiencing right now. But what Carlson can do for the veteran that's making the transition is give them the language of business. Give them something to be a little more negotiable with as they speak to someone from any one of the major corporations that's here in the Twin Cities area that's business-related and not necessarily a military background.
So this is essentially a way to transition from the military to business.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's what we're trying to help the veterans with.
Yeah, and how many folks are going through the program? How many do you expect in the future, and how many have gone so far?
Yes, sir. In Mike's class, which was the graduating class of 12, there were two veterans, and the average was 2 to 3 every year. In the first-year class that's just completing its first year, we were able to get 7 students into it. And for next year, I have commitments from 15 veterans, as we speak today, that are going to be pursuing the MBA next year. So that will be a class of about 24, 25 students in both the first-year and second-year classes going through the MBA program at Carlson.
Now, is there a scholarship a part of this program? How does that work?
Yes, sir. If the student qualifies in the application process, and Carlson can be difficult to get into, and the standards are the same. We don't change any standards for military folks coming in. But if they qualify to get in, there is scholarship money and stipend money available for students if they have certain qualifications as they come into the program.
Michael, I want to come back to you. You got out of the Marine Corps some time ago and got your undergraduate degree and then went to work for the city of St. Paul as a police officer. And were injured, and what brought you to the MBA program? That seems like an unusual choice after Marines, undergraduate, police officer.
I agree. I thought it was an unusual choice at first. And a friend of mine who's an alum got me onto the program. And it really, like I said, it's a degree that's going to give me a lot of the tools that I need to change careers. And I was doing one thing, and all those soft skills relate. All those hard skills, all the technical skills, that's what I needed. And I was very fortunate to have a school like Carlson in my backyard that I could go to get all of that, to make me competitive, to get me in front of all the great companies we have here in the Twin Cities, where otherwise the doors would never have been opened.
So did you enjoy the whole program? Did it take 2 years?
It does. It takes 2 years, two school years, and I enjoyed it a lot. It was going back to school. I was always a non-traditional student, and it was the first time I hadn't worked going back to school. And I enjoyed it a lot. I learned a lot, and I learned new things, was exposed to a lot of things I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a great, enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm. So now that you've finished the program, does Carlson provide some assistance in finding jobs then as well?
They do. They have a wonderful career center that I actually started before I even enrolled. Well, after I was enrolled, but before I attended, I was already meeting with them to try and get my resume right, to understand what the interviewing process would be going from government jobs to the private sector. And even after you graduate, there's still services that you can use from the Career Center.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with former Navy Commander Charles Altman and former United States Marine Corps Sergeant Michael Conroy about the Military Veteran Program at the Carlson School of Management on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, this is quite an undertaking. You do have a couple of people that provided some funds for this program.
Yes, sir.
Did you say they were Vietnam veterans?
Yes, sir. The initial program was began with a vision of several Vietnam veterans, two in particular, that have been very philanthropic with respect to being able to donate back. And it's kind of an advocacy, if you will, for veterans. But it's been a wonderful undertaking by these individuals as we gather more support from other corporate and private donors in the area. As you know, the Star Tribune article that appeared back in February suggested that the program was at about the $7 million mark with monies in this scholarship fund as of February. It's actually even a little higher than that now as the private donation continues in support of the military initiatives at Carlson. And Carlson's, you know, as you know, it's a top-tier MBA school. And to be able to provide this, no other school in the nation, especially top-tier schools, is providing this kind of a difference.
So, Commander, how do you go about recruiting veterans for this program?
I attend conferences around the country. I go to bases. I've been to transition centers at the major installations from California to Texas to Florida to Virginia, and even in the central U.S. And the Service Academy conferences, the non-commissioned officers conferences, and the VA conferences, the national one in particular, last year in Detroit, and this year it's being held in St. Louis.
So is there an application process to become part of this program?
Yes, sir. There's an application that a student would fill out and an applicant would fill out online. It's all done very easily, and you would begin the process by doing so, and then you would speak to me, hopefully, and we would begin a process of understanding your background. And we talked about this before the show, but really all we need is a DD-214, whether it's active or already out of the service. It is open to all veterans of all walk, and the DD-214 is the thing that we only need to make sure you have.
So the eligibility is an honorable discharge and an undergraduate degree.
Yes, sir. Eligible for the school and the program in general. Yes, sir.
And Michael, I understand that you were president of a veterans group at Carlson.
Yes, I was. We started an organization our first year to really unite the veterans that go to Carlson.
And do you help veterans with issues, or you help them get through the school, or what type of things do you talk about?
I learned very young that we're our brothers and sisters keepers, and we want to be that support network for the other students coming in, whether they're already enrolled or they're thinking about enrolling and want to know about the school from a student perspective. And we're there, whether it be for finding them resources for their GI Bill, or if it's even giving our books to the first years to help them offset some of the costs, we can loan them our books that we may have gotten loaned to us.
Gentlemen, we've got about a minute left. Michael, any final thoughts about the MBA program for the military veteran program at Carlson?
I think it's a great idea. It will really bring you to a new level and open up doors that would not have been available to you before.
And I hope you find a great position.
Thank you very much.
Commander, final thoughts about your program, and where can we find some more information on it?
Yes, sir. You can reach me at I'll give you my website. I'm sorry, my email first. Let's go with that at altma047@umn.edu. Let's work with that first. And the website, of course, would be just under the University of Minnesota as well. And but in parting, the advocacy that we have for veterans is real, and it's a wonderful program. And if you're interested at all, please contact me, and I can help you both financially and through some of the veteran services and job internship applications we have at Carlson School of Management.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. That was former U.S. Navy Commander Charles Altman and United States Marine Corps Sergeant Michael Conroy talking about the military veteran program of the Carlson School of Management. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us today, Colonel Michael Price, Colonel Daniel Kuprowski, Charles Altman, Michael Conroy, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg, and we'll have a special visitor from the United States Special Forces. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.